Welcome to Textonation. Joining us is Sean Frain, the CEO and co-founder of a company called The Looking Glass Factory. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Thanks, Fred.
Tell us what Looking Glass Factory is all about.
So we've been building the next generation of interfaces that come after the 2D computers and the phones in our pockets and the monitors that we all look at all day long. To us and the team, that next generation of interfaces is a holographic interface. So in short, we make holographic displays that allow groups of people to collaborate and interact with genuinely three-dimensional content.
What are the advantages?
The advantages of the Looking Glass compared to sort of the next generation of interface that maybe some of your listeners are more familiar with, such as the AR and VR headset futures being promoted by a lot of the big companies out there, is that holographic display in the way that we develop them in our company Looking Glass is really designed to be a zero friction experience that can exist ambiently in a room or in an office so that one or two or three or more folks can walk up to this holographic display and immediately be able to see and interact with genuinely three-dimensional information without having to put on glasses or a headset of any sort.
Sounds pretty cool. Now, this week you've announced that you're actually shipping an 8K holographic display. Tell me about it.
Yeah, that's a very exciting milestone for us that we've been working towards for years. Personally, I've been working towards this dream since I was about a 9 or 10-year-old kid after seeing Marty McFly get swallowed up by that holographic shark in Back to the Future 2. So this is a big milestone for me personally. To see come to life, and also for our team. The Looking Glass 8K is the world's largest holographic display. Technically, the nerds out there like me would call it a light field display. And this is 32 inches diagonal. We control 100 million points of light to then create a synthetic light field, aka a hologram, that can update at video speeds. The end result being essentially you have this thing in your office or laboratory, and it acts as a holographic window connecting either parts of the world together or our world with this unseen 3D digital space and all the 3D content that exists there.
Tell me what your vision is for this. Do you envision these types of displays coming into the home, the next generation of entertainment as well?
Sure. Our ambition is, we see this transition towards holographic display as being as significant as a transition from static photograph to film or from command line computing to the graphical user interface. And so we really take this responsibility seriously. And so we think it's going to be a standard in everybody's lives over the coming years. It started with developers last year building the first generation of applications on this new platform and with this new technology. It's moved this year into enterprises such as holographic mapping, or we actually just announced last week integration with company software. The company is Schrodinger, and they fuel all of the drug discovery at the big pharma companies. So now someone can plug a Looking Glass into a workstation at one of those companies that's developing the next generation of treatments and have a holographic display augmenting and accelerating their workflows. But eventually our ambition is for it to transition to a third phase from strictly enterprise and developers to also include general consumers. And for that step, it's not entirely clear what that's going to involve, but given the state of the world right now, it's probably going to have to do with something along the lines of allowing folks to connect more readily across vast distances without having to be physically present with one another.
What are the biggest challenges? I mean, you've created a 32-inch display. which, you know, by home entertainment standards isn't a big screen at all. Mm-hmm. What are the challenges that you have to overcome here?
Yeah, so the Looking Glass 8K is by far the largest and highest quality holographic light field display ever developed, as far as we know. And so we're very proud to actually be shipping these to customers now. So these are going to be deployed in a number of useful applications around the world, well, right now and for the duration of this year and into next year. That being said, the technology, let's just say that's what we've been able to put out there and ship. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that is equally as exciting. And on the issue of scale, which I think you're getting to in terms of the size of holographic displays like the Looking Glass, there is no physical limitation to how large those systems can go. There is a limit in terms of commercially available computing power that can, in the case of the Looking Glass 8K, we're recalculating a full light field composed of 100 million points of light on the directionality of all of those points of light every 60th of a second. And that really pushes up to the edge of generally commercially available computing systems right now that plug into this type of display. That being said, that whole train is moving real fast, as we all know. So there is a future not far away where there are larger holographic windows that connect our world with this unseen 3D digital world, right around the corner. Not launched yet, but there is no physical limitation to the size of the Looking Glass.
What other sizes are you making? And tell us what the price range is like. We know that when technology is new, just arriving, it's always pretty pricey.
Well, we've tried to make a good spectrum for a number of different folks. So we have two desktop units of the Looking Glass. These are 8.9-inch and 15.6-inch. So, similar to the size of a large book on the smallest scale. And then if you could imagine extruding out a laptop screen for the 15.6-inch, that's about the scale you're talking about there. So those are really designed to be used on the desk in conjunction with whatever computer, whether that be a laptop or what have you, in your daily workflows. The Looking Glass 8K, and so those systems run between starting at $600 up to $3,000 for the desktop units. For the Looking Glass 8K, that's really designed to be used in an office or in a laboratory or in a hospital. A lot of these areas where you're dealing with complex 3D information and someone needs to make a very mission critical or life critical decision around that information. That's where we're seeing the first real benefits of the Looking Glass 8K. For that system, really depends on the configuration. So folks can write us at info@lookingglassfactory.com, and we can get folks a quote depending on what configuration they're interested in.
And is that the biggest market for you today, medicine?
Drug discovery is ramping up, and we're doing a lot in basically any of these areas, like holographic mapping, where you need to visualize a point cloud, which is very complex and difficult to do on a 2D screen, or where you're visualizing CT or MRI scans in the 3D medical visualization fields. Those are all areas where we're seeing a lot of pull. That being said, I imagine a lot of your listeners are not in those fields. So I do want to say that our playbook is similar to the playbook of the emergence of desktop computing some decades ago. And that went from, at least my read of it, from developers into enterprise and then into the home, impacting everyone's life. And the reason that I started this company with my co-founder Alex is not necessarily to visualize mapping applications in the Looking Glass. While those are important applications today, to me, the end destination is where the Looking Glass platform transitions from being a computing platform exclusively, which it is now, to being a communication platform. I mean, I used to travel around constantly between Hong Kong and Brooklyn, where our home base is, and it was always on my mind how I could connect better with my family across these vast distances. So to me, the goal ultimately is for the Looking Glass to be a way that allows us to connect with one another in a variety of ways, despite the physical separation that we might have between us. And, you know, I think all of us feel that even more these days than we did a few months ago.
Very interesting. And for more information, where's the best place for people to go?
People can go to look.glass and they can find out about those desktop units, about these different applications that can be powered by the look or that are connected with and integrated with the Looking Glass. And also some more about that Looking Glass 8K, which is just starting to ship, as you mentioned.
Tell me how you envision this going up against things like holographic projectors that come to mind. I mean, when people think of, mm-hmm. of holographic images, they think of, I suppose, Star Wars first.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is that vision that's fueled our company. So there's some, the Star Wars sort of R2-D2 beaming a light field into free space. There are physical limitations that prevent that exact version of the holographic future being realizable. You can't freeze light in free space. However, the end result of having a dynamic light field or dynamic hologram that you can see with the naked eye and that more than one person can see at a time is something that the Looking Glass does. So having these, you know, holographic windows essentially that are connecting different parts of the world and our world to different types of 3D information and 3D environments is something that isn't 5 or 10 or 20 years in the future. That is really here today. I wish I could invite your listeners in to see the Looking Glass in our office in Brooklyn. We can't right now. So the best thing is for folks to go to look.glass on the internet. And hopefully in the not too distant future, we can invite folks over.
Cool stuff. Once again, it's look.glass. Sean Frayne, thank you for taking the time with us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Now this. How many companies out there have continued to innovate when it comes to building a better radio? I'm Fred Fishkin, host of Textination, and I'm here to tell you about the new CC SkyWave SSB radio from the wonderful people at SeaCrane. Bob and his crew really love radio, and it shows in this new compact model that is packed with features. Beyond great AM and FM reception and sound, you can tune into shortwave signals from around the world. Listen to ham radio operators, aviation, and more. It's the radio you'll turn to every day and in emergencies. It will run for nearly 3 days on just two AA batteries. Pair the sleep timer with the new Soft Speaker 3, and you've got the perfect radio for your nightstand. Of course, it can wake you up too. Click on SeaCrane at Textination.com and put in the code Textination for a free flashlight with your order. They love radio. And you'll love SeaCrane.